The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, and you're all very welcome on this incredibly warm and sunny day. It's only going to get warmer, they say. So take lots of breaks over the next few days, leave water out for your pets, and we'll be grand. We'll see you on the other side. Today there are a few announcements. Holy Communion this evening at 7 p.m. Wednesday morning, we've got Holy Communion as well at 10:30. Also on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m., we have got English conversation classes for anyone who has any Ukrainian families or any Ukrainian neighbors. Thursday at 7 p.m., we have our prayer meeting on Zoom, which is a lovely occasion. It's a nice, quiet oasis in the week. And we're asking over the summer, as we're looking forward to September, if any of you are interested in helping out with any children's or youth organizations over the new year and being on a rota, would you let me know or let one of us know, and we can speak with you and go through a bit of a process there. It's always good to have new faces. This morning, the theme, we will be thinking about the importance of getting the balance right between doing and listening. Our opening hymn today is Great Shepherd of Your People. Our service this morning is Holy Communion. We pray together. Almighty God, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write these, your laws, in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand for the Gloria. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. And peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King,
Almighty God and Father,
we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. A collect for today, the fifth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all of your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take your seats.
The epistle is written in the letter of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ, according to St. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We believe in one God.
We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we prepare this morning to hear from Gillian, when she shares from the Word of God with us, we sing, "Speak, O Lord."
Thank you.
God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to obey it with courage. For Christ's sake, amen. The story is told of a group of porters who were rushing through the rainforest at a ridiculous pace set by some men who had hired them. Eventually, they got to a clearing and sat down. When the men tried desperately to get the porters back onto their feet and moving again, the head porter refused, saying, "No, we're not moving another step. We've come so far and so fast that now we have to wait for our souls to catch up with us." Wait for our souls to catch up with us. In a culture where speed and the ability to pack more in is becoming the norm, and where stress levels are high, many people today are crying out for some space. They long to slow down. And in a way, that is the picture we see in the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha on the day Jesus comes to visit. A flurry of feverish activity. Well, from one sister anyway. Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." The story of Jesus' visit to Mary and Martha's place and what happened in the lead-up to the meal was easy to understand when we heard it all those years ago in Sunday school, wasn't it? It was easy to see the point. Martha was too busy in the kitchen to have time to listen to Jesus. Mary did the right thing. The Sunday school lesson ended reminding us that we should always make time to spend with Jesus. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that kind of a conclusion. But now, from an adult's perspective, the story is not as straightforward as it seems. Life, as we all know, is much more complicated as an adult. We can appreciate Martha's point of view simply because our own lives are packed with so many demands. We understand what Martha was going through and how she felt. In Jesus' time, custom required that when you welcomed a guest, you must do certain things. If you didn't, you were insulting the guest. So Martha is busy doing what is expected. Mary wasn't. But what is more important? Being busy serving the Lord or sitting quietly and listening and learning? Who was right, Martha or Mary? Well, according to Jesus' response to Martha's complaint about Mary not pitching in and helping in the kitchen, Mary had chosen the right thing. Now, I don't know about you, but that just confuses me more. Let me set this incident in context. Immediately before it, Jesus tells the story about the Good Samaritan. In fact, that was our set gospel reading last Sunday. A man asks what he must do to receive eternal life. And Jesus answers, "Love God and love your neighbor, and you will have eternal life." He goes on to explain how to do this with the story of a Samaritan who, unlike previous passersby who did nothing, got busy helping the man wounded on the side of the road. Jesus' final words are, "Go and do the same," meaning go and get busy showing love to others whenever the opportunity arises, and you will have eternal life. So it's clear from this that being a follower of Jesus involves a lot more than sitting and listening. Yet today, we hear Martha being taken to task because she was busy showing her love for Jesus by cooking up a storm in the kitchen. Of course, Jesus doesn't tell Martha that she shouldn't be serving. It's good to serve others. It's good to care for their physical needs. But what Jesus does do is gently rebuke her because she is worried and upset about many things. Her enthusiasm for serving has got her into a panic, so much so that she has forgotten about the guest. She's worked herself up into such a state that it's all become too much, and so she has some unkind things to say about her sister. Jesus wants her to see that something is wrong if serving has become a chore and has caused her to become worried and upset. Yes, it's good to be busy serving others. It's necessary. But when serving turns into stressful busyness, then it's time to stop what you are doing and listen. As one person put it, there is a time to go and do. There is a time to listen and reflect. Knowing which and when is a matter of spiritual discernment. Martha needs to make time to listen to Jesus and understand his love if she is to serve him. At that very moment, Martha needs just one thing, not the stress a fancy meal is causing her, but the word of God from Jesus himself. Through listening to Jesus, she will find new reasons and fresh inspiration for her going and doing whatever she was doing willingly and without complaint. For just a while, she needs to stop trying to serve Jesus and instead be willing to be served by her Lord. You know, Luke's story of Mary and Martha provides us with a parallel situation in our own lives. We may identify more with the meditative Mary or with the must-do Martha. There is a time for practical aspects of service in the church, and there is also a time for listening and growing in the love and forgiveness of Christ. In fact, church activity and busyness is in danger of becoming empty and meaningless without each person also sitting at the feet of Jesus through the word and sacraments and growing in faith and the new life. Whatever our role is in the church, or indeed in the community or the workplace, because it applies there as well, we're all in danger of being worried and upset over so many things, to the extent that we become prime candidates for burnout and disillusionment and discouragement. And when we become worried and upset over so many things, we are in danger also of taking out our frustration on others, as Martha did. When serving causes us to be worried and upset, then it's time to put aside our busy lives and just spend some time being with Jesus, learning from him, being refreshed and recreated by his Spirit, letting our souls catch up. There is a time to go and do. There is a time to listen and reflect. I know we would like to think of ourselves as having a good balance between the Mary and the Martha in our lives. But in reality, for most of us, the Martha in us has virtually taken over. Oh, there's always the argument that there is so much to do and somebody has to do the work. That may be so. But the question is, how do we stop being worried and upset about what has to be done? From where do we draw energy and motivation to do it? How do we prevent burnout and discouragement and disillusionment? How do we know whether what we are doing is really all that important if we don't take the time to stop, listen to our Lord, talk with Him, prayerfully think it all through, and let the Spirit guide us? There will always be something to be done. There will always be a job that must be performed. There will always be those things and people who will demand so much of our time and energy. But when the going and doing gets to possess us, to leave us with no time for prayer, no time for quiet, then it has become obsessive. And let's face it, in our culture, obsessive busyness is a major problem. There is a time to go and do. There is a time to listen and reflect. The time we spend prayerfully meditating, listening, being silent in God's presence is just as important as our doing. Then we will know what is important and what is not important as we go out sharing, befriending, working, meeting, witnessing, and in so doing, demonstrate Christ to the world. No doubt all of us get this balance between doing and listening wrong. I know I do. We become worried and troubled over so many things. But the great thing about Jesus is that He knows us so well. And even when we get it wrong, He loves us even more. He knows how we crowd out of our busy lives the listening and being refreshed and re-energized by the Spirit. He knows that. But with the same love and forgiveness that He showed Martha, He reminds us that there is no need to be so anxious and stressed. There is a time and place for everything. And so in this week that lies ahead, let us pray that God would bless us both in our listening and in our doing. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in the rush and bustle of each day, we all too often lose sight of You, our minds occupied by the responsibilities, demands, and difficulties confronting us. Instead of turning to You, we get sucked in ever deeper, getting these out of all perspective and denying ourselves the strength we need to meet them. Teach us to find time for You, if only for a few moments, so that we may hear Your voice and discern Your will. Teach us to step back and take stock, so that we may then step forward, renewed in faith, strengthened in spirit, and equipped for whatever You may ask. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, for leaders and diplomats, that they may work together to build a world of peace and hope with justice and compassion. We remember the victims of violence and war, and continue to pray for those places in our world where there is tension and unrest at the present time. Sri Lanka, South Africa, Ukraine. And at this time of political upheaval and uncertainty, both at Stormont and Westminster, we especially pray for our leaders. In the Conservative Party race, we pray that each candidate would focus on the pressing and challenging issues we face as a nation and not on personal attacks on other candidates. We pray, Lord, that you would raise up a person of integrity and wisdom and discernment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for those in any kind of need. We especially remember all those who are distressed, all who are troubled in spirit or anxious. We ask you too to comfort and bless all who are struggling with problems that they cannot solve, and those who feel unable to cope. And in a moment of silence, we bring into your presence those known to us who are sick at this time. As we name them quietly in our hearts, we pray for healing of body, mind, and spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, accept our prayers for your name's sake. And as you taught your disciples, so we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our prayers continue as we pray together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this, your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Can we continue, please, to think about what we've heard this morning during our next hymn? Dear Lord and Father of all mankind.
Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, you gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now, and may this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Can I remind you that everyone is welcome for communion this morning? And can I also remind you that if you're not comfortable with the shared cup, simply fold your arms across yourself and we will take that as a sign. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Holy and blessed God, as you give us the body and blood of your Son, guide us with your Holy Spirit, that we may honor you not only with our lips, but also with our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray together. Almighty God, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and those whom you love, now and forever. Our closing hymn this morning is Forth in Thy Name, Lord, I Go.